Off the Ball Rugby.
There is no price, there's no World Cup, there's nothing that can replace your health. There's nothing bigger in the game of rugby than keeping your players safe.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
LOI Late Night on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol free.
Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie.
Insert hilarious Oasis pun here. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with Rockshore 00 on Off the Ball, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware, visit drinkaware.ie. It's the regular team this evening for you. Cameron Hill here. Glad you can join us tonight. And first name on the team sheet every week, Shane Keegan is here. Good evening, Shane.
Cameron, I could have a go at a few of them as the evening goes on, all right. Yep, I'd be well up for the Oasis puns.
Good stuff. Also joining us tonight, browned off after being stuck on the B team for an 11v11 in training this week, it's Johnny Ward.
Yeah, that's a nice start. How are you, Cam?
Not too bad. You don't have to just listen to us three talk and witter on tonight, folks. If you want to get any League of Ireland thoughts off your chest this evening, we want to hear them. Request to speak using the mic icon in the bottom left-hand corner there, and we'll get you on the line as soon as we can. Plenty to talk about from the week that was in League of Ireland land, especially with the Cup tonight, because a couple of very interesting results produced this evening. Sligo Rovers through at the expense of Bohemians. Owen Elding with the goal in the second half at Daly Mount Park for a 1-0 win to send them into the hat, along with Cork City. They're upping a tick in form continuing tonight. 2-1 winners over Waterford at the Cross. Finn Harps were 3-1 winners over the 10 men of Bray. Kerry were 2-0 winners over the 9 men of Cove Ramblers, and Galway United comfortably disposed of Salthill Devon at Eamon DC Park, 4-0 winners there. Big result in the quarterfinal in the Women's FAI Cup. Our own Scarlett Heron on the score sheet as Shamrock Rovers dumped Holders Shelburne out on a 2-1 scoreline at Tulka Park. And before we get into tonight's action, just to round up some of the recap, I suppose, the European results this week. Shamrock Rovers last night, 4-0 winners over Balkany at Tallaght Stadium to go through 4-1 on aggregate. Shelburne lost 3-1 at home to Rijeka to lose that tie 4-3 on aggregate. And St. Pat's, 2-0 up in the first half, ended up losing 3-2 to Besiktas and go out 7-3 on aggregate. So the playoff picture is that Shamrock Rovers will take on Santa Clara with the second leg in Tala in 2 weeks' time. Shelburne and Linfield is a reunion from the Champions League. That first leg will be in Tala. The second leg is down to be in Windsor Park, although I saw a story tonight that a Sam Fender concert on the same night on Thursday the 28th of August might mean that will be moved to Wednesday, most likely, if all parties agree to it. That seems to be the most likely outcome. Shane Keegan, what were you watching tonight?
I was slightly off Broadway tonight. Cameron took the night took the opportunity to get another look at my former loves, Cove Ramblers, who did not have a good night. Unfortunately, one of the earliest red cards you're likely to see. Put them down to 10 and put them on the back foot from early on. Maybe some of our listeners might argue against me, but I will be stunned if there was a better goal scored all night than the one I saw. Keane Brosnan's outside of the boot left foot volley straight into the top corner stanchion is an absolute cracker. And thankfully, LOI TV did pick it up. So if you have a look at the that is also the fire alarm going off in my house. I don't know whether you can hear that in the background, but I let my darling wife deal with that. So I will.
There you go. That it was that good a goal.
Unless the house is actually burning down around me, and then I might have to actually run. Yeah, absolute peach of a goal. It's absolute cracker. So I'd encourage people to go on to the League of Ireland stream and get a look at that.
Johnny, were you watching things at Eamon DC Park, or what was taking your fancy tonight?
Yeah, I was reporting from MDC Park. It's kind of like it was Salthill Devon Galway United. It was a novel tie. Salthill had about half a dozen players who would have played for Galway United. I suppose a couple of things. Ollie Horgan was very much in the minds of everyone there. You know, he did a great attachment to Salt Hill, where he's from, and obviously Galway United, he's a Galway United legend. And so that was kind of, I suppose, one of the backdrops. But a good crowd, 2,500 for a Salt Hill home fixture. I just find the problem with these games now in terms of the crazy non-alignment of the seasons, and you can blame whoever for that. Like, it's obviously the League of Ireland went on a bit of a solo, what, 20 odd years ago to go summer football. But now you've the non-league teams who actually pound for pound, if they were fit enough and they're in the middle of the season, would be good enough to definitely beat first division teams, definitely. And but now you have games like this where there's really no sense of any sort of jeopardy, where, you know, Galway United, as much as they've been on a fairly poor run of form in the Premier Division, you know, you basically know they're going to win and win comfortably. And it was just a complete golf in class. Galway United dominated from start to finish. Salt Hill keeper did well, but Salt Hill ultimately had hardly a chance in the whole game, and the game was over at half time when United were 2-0 up. Stephen Walsh had scored, he was taken off at half time, his replacement McGuinness came in and scored, and United were quite bright. But it's just a shame that, you know, the cup competition, where, you know, we have an FAI Cup that really is thriving and everyone wants to get to the final, it's a massive, massive occasion. It's just a shame that the non-league teams are so far off it, where it's basically, there's no sense whatsoever tonight that this was going to be anything other than an easy Galway United win, and that's been the team in the competition, I suppose. But Cameron, the draw was mad, that four Premier Division teams were going to be knocked out, but like two of the, you know, I consider Waterford better than Cork. Waterford are gone, maybe they're not better than Cork based on tonight, but Bowes losing home to Sligo, the bookies had Bowes massive favourites for that, which looked a bit suspect, because they could barely struggle to get a draw against them recently in the league. And Sligo, again, they've been the team that are constantly kind of, under appreciated. But the cup is absolutely, United haven't been in a cup final since 1991. It's absolutely opening up now for a team that gets a favourable draw in the last eight, because it's been a mad, mad draw with the first division, sorry, with the Premier Division teams being knocked out in such numbers so far.
Yeah, I assume things are cleared up. It wasn't an actual fire, Shane.
Not an actual fire, but no, my wife has only just managed to put it out there in the last 30 seconds. Not the fire now, sorry, the fire alarm.
She just left her at it.
So good timing by her. She knew you were about to throw back to me and managed to solve the problem fairly quickly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, listen, look, just to draw on what Johnny has said there, like, it is a matter, if you look at the five results across the cup games tonight, Galway were the only favourites that won, Cameron. The other four underdogs all came out on top. Okay, they mightn't have been massive underdogs, but Bowes, Waterford, Bray Wanderers and Cove Ramblers would have been the favourite side in the other four ties, and all four are out. I think it will definitely open up for somebody like a Galway United to have a right good rattle at this one. But yeah, look, Sligo's win away to Bowes, I think we spoke about it. We had a Sligo fan on with us maybe a week or two ago, and we were saying that's going to be one they're going to be licking their lips now, because they obviously had discovered such good form in the league. They would have been travelling across to Dublin tonight fully, fully confident that they could spring exactly the result that they've pulled off. And John Russell Cameron is the man with the master plan.
They do like playing at Daly Mount Park, Johnny. There were a couple of results last year where Sligo Rovers completely played them off the park. And in fairness, even in the first half when it was scoreless at half time, I was watching this game. It was very, very entertaining. So full credit to John Russell and his side. They're going back down to the showgrounds, comfortable in the knowledge that they are in the hot. I suppose it's interesting from a draw perspective, Johnny, that like the games tonight were really, really good, aside from the mismatch at Eamon DC Park. You would have thought that all of the attention would be on like tomorrow night's game between, like, the repeat of last year's final between Derry and Drogheda, and even Pat Shells. There's so much riding on that game, that it's great that even at this stage in the third round of the cup, there's so many talking points and plenty at stake.
Yeah, and I suppose I'm not a fan at all of and I don't really even get it in England per se, where teams are just like they, like you'll have sort of championship teams making massive changes in the cup, and I'm like, why do you need to do this? And I know you're on about squad rotation, but there's a lot of history to the cup, and you should, if you have a winnable game, you should try to win that game regardless of what you're doing in the league, unless you have an outstanding reason, you know, not to give it your all. And like, Go United tonight put out pretty much their best team to play Salt Hill, and I'm sure, like, Cork City, as much as they look a bit doomed in the Premier Division, they would have like made a big deal to beat Waterford tonight. And Bowes and Sligo, like, there are actually some really good ties. I find that Derry Drogheda game fascinating tomorrow, because Derry were so bad last week, and Drogheda know how to do them up there. That's going to be fascinating. But I'm glad that the cup, like, some teams obviously rest players with the view to knowing that they'll win a game, but I'm glad the cup has so much of a priority in Ireland, because like it was for years, maybe before the Aviva Stadium final took off, it was kind of labouring a bit with the FA Cup, where cup competitions kind of lost their lustre a bit. But that's not the case at all in Ireland. Everyone is like, you're a Galway United fan, you're absolutely desperate to think that they could get to the Aviva Stadium, and the draw is going to be, I mean, fascinating for these teams come early next week.
Cameron, indeed. I'd be interested if we have any Cork City fans on. Like, that is a massive result for them, and coming on the back of a league win the previous weekend. You know, I'd say City fans might argue, unfortunately for the league win, is it going to be a case of too little, too late? Particularly if Sligo stay showing the form that they have. But at the same, look, two wins back to back, a bit of a sign that they might be turning a corner. Again, whether that's too late or not, we'll have to see. The guy who got the winner, Cameron, he's one I'd be interested to see what Cork City fans have made of him. I think this might have only been his second appearance coming on off the bench. Caden Kamara, they brought him in on loan from Preston. They've obviously got that bit of a link up with Preston. They have Kit Nelson there already. But the young fella, Kamara, he's a former world champion in kickboxing. Not the sort of fella you want to get into a training ground row with, is it?
No, not at all. No, you wouldn't be telling him, you wouldn't be getting into a row with him or putting him in a B team in training. right, we'll go to some callers now. I saw Seagull chat floating around, but hopefully we'll get him on. Johnny, does that result tonight, as you said, it is a dead rubber, but given how Galway have struggled and they've kind of stuff off the pitch, especially with Ollie Horgan and everyone sort of playing, like, the what that'll mean for the rest of their season, and John Daly coming in, like, can you take anything from tonight's game in terms of generating a bit of momentum?
I'd still be a believer in a team winning games and scoring goals, and, like, you know, players coming in tonight, who Stephen Walsh scored again, which is a boost for him, and you know, Hickey scoring as well, he's kind of been coming back from injury, and he probably needs to find his form again, which he was in amazing form earlier in the season. And ultimately, since John Daly came in, like, Shamrock Rovers were very poor last Sunday, but Galway United were a bit like the old Galway United that we'd gotten used to. They were hard to play against, probably should have won the game, really. And I do think you'd take something from that. And, like, ultimately, Galway United, still by the low percentage, should be safe in the Premier Division. And it's a massive incentive, potentially, to, you know, get to a cup final and potentially get Galway United into Europe next season. And it's becoming a very realistic ambition now with the way the cup draw has gone. So, no, I wouldn't be dismissing it tonight. And just with, you know, there's so much other things going on at the moment, I think for the team to get a victory like that on the pitch is important, and to send the fans home happy tonight for all that they were in the away section.
Yeah, indeed. To the victors that we go, I suppose, this evening first. Daniel Zhang is standing by. Good evening, Daniel. How are you? Welcome to LOI Late Night.
How are you doing? It's not Daniel, it's Blaine. I'm just using Daniel's phone, but you know what? Listen to you here. We're going down the N4. We're absolutely buzzing, okay? Because 2 weeks in a row, we've had to deal with the FAI. We have to deal with all the consequences of all that. 500 fans come down to Sligo to watch that game tonight. We're absolutely buzzing. Anybody else at home watching that, that's real football. Dominate from the start to the finish. We got it lucky with the penalty. We're absolutely delighted. And I think we're going to win the cup.
Wow, there you go. It was a great game, in fairness. It was very entertaining, especially in the first half. Lots of chances for both sides. There was a really good chance for Dawson Devoy, I think it was, or Connor Parsons early on for Bowes. Be interested to hear Gavin or someone else his thoughts on that one. But the goal for...
I think all the fans were starstruck. I think they're all looking for the Oasis. They're all looking forward to the gig, and they're all there with jerseys. In fairness now, they weren't expecting the Red Army to come down that end four today. And the numbers we came down, we hit them from the start. And I can only think to say is that we've struggled for the start of the season. We've signed some new players. I reckon Sligo Rovers is going to win the cup. And I think that's a statement performance tonight. To dominate the way we did, second hardest draw we could have got, I just think we deserve nothing but credit. We gave it the best we gave it, and we're going up the road in for it, delighted, happy as Larry. Thanks, lads.
Cheers. Short but sweet. Anything else to add? Are you going to survive?
Yeah. The way is the soup. Did you hear? The Oasis soup was lovely in Daily Mount. You gotta roll with it.
Take it easy, lads. Safe home.
Fucking roll!
Okay, no prizes for guessing how they feel about tonight's game anyway, as they head up the N4 with saving the knowledge the quarterfinal in the FAI Cup is awaiting them. Not the case for Bray Wanderers this evening, and Seagull Chat is going to join us now. Good evening, Seagull. How are you?
Well, just evening, lads. No, listen.
What's good about it?
listen. That was the biggest. I mean, listen. We've been very unlucky with injuries in the past couple of weeks. But and Paul Heffernan's a fantastic manager, but he keeps putting his faith in this back four, who, in the last time and time again, in the last 2 months, have been letting us down hopelessly.
Okay, talk us through the game, because I'm just for people who didn't see it, what exactly happened? Cause...
Well, we started very well, and because again, Keane Kersey, he's scored a fair few goals this season, but he's never been able to properly take charge of the front line. So he was the only one up front this, and that worked very well for the first 15 minutes. He scored, and it was his third chance of the game. And then we were cruising, could have scored again afterwards. And then we, our Stonehenge back four, I mean, my God, some of the... I mean, if you watch the goals back, the marking and the defending is horrific. And again, as good as Paul Heffernan's been, you know, it's getting to the point now where practically every Braves fan is pulling their hair out as to why he's still trusting this back four. I mean, Max Murphy, he's fantastic. He's a fantastic penalty taker, and up until about a month ago, he was fairly good at doing crosses and corners, but his delivery has been abysmal for since then. Killian Cantwell, captain, but he, you know, you'd think someone of his age and stature would at least know the basics better, but that's been slipping away from him. And Jamie Duggan, he seems to prefer playing up in the midfield than he does in the back four. So, I mean, no, it's we've been pulling our hair out. And if you look at the results haven't been bad over the past month, but, you know, we shouldn't have gotten a point against Harps 2 weeks ago. We shouldn't have beaten Treaty 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we roundly deserved to lose against Cove. So I mean, if again, we've been unlucky with a couple of injuries in the past number of weeks, but if this team more or less were to enter the playoffs now, we would be roundly beat.
I suppose the thing, Siegel, is that just like the and Bray have been the one team that can kind of maybe get into cup finals when they're not flying in the league in my lifetime. Anyway, this was a chance. Like, this was a real, real chance to get into the last eight against, and you could have gotten an easy draw as well or a good draw in the last eight.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And what's more frustrating is because we're now in that weird in-between zone where we're guaranteed basically the playoffs, but we've almost no hope of winning the title. In fact,
that's tricky as well. Like, that's definitely tricky as a manager and a team.
Yeah, so now we have to sit around twiddling our thumbs for almost 2 months waiting for the playoffs to come. And that effect is doubled because it's going to be guaranteed that essentially that UCD finish third, so or second if we fall off in the league. But it doesn't make a difference because the two sides are around the corner from each other. So It's not like we're even playing for a significant home advantage
or
anything.
What do you do there, Shane? If I can bring you in, Shane Keegan, as a coach, how do you? You know, it's inevitable that players' minds are kind of elsewhere, and that's the one flaw in the first division playoff system, where like you basically, if you're locked into finishing in the top five, you've kind of almost nothing to play for. There's very little incentive to finish third over fourth or whatever.
I think he's been killed by the fire.
Ah, there we go. Well, who played well for Bray tonight, Sigo?
Who played well? Oh, I mean, Keane Curtis for the first 15, I mean, even 20 minutes, he looked, he's a very traditional striker, and he's, even though he's scored a couple of goals this season, he's struggled because we've been playing sort of a front three. And that hasn't suited him. So him being essentially the lone guy up front with Billy O'Neill behind him suited him much more. And he looked far more threatening. And he could have gotten two. And if I was him, I'd be disappointed that he didn't get at least two. But it suited him much better. Other than that, I mean, listen, everyone's been talking about Richard Ferrazzi. He hasn't exactly set things alight since he's come in. Sean, I don't know if you lads heard last week, but Sean Brennan's out for the season now.
Okay.
Yeah, so obviously that's usually disappointing. He'll be here next season because he's on that contract. But
and with Justin Ferrazzi playing tonight.
He was, yes. I don't know if I said Richard or Justin, but he was in midfield tonight. He was decent. It was weird because the team was better when we went down to 10 men because Billy O'Neill got sent off. But he was actually better for the first half for the most part. But I mean, obviously he's only been thrown in and out for the past couple of games, and you'd expect he'd have some more settling in to do. But I mean, he hasn't exactly set things alight. He's had glimpses, you know, when he's on the ball, he bullies players who try and take the ball off of him, and it's fantastic to watch. But then the modus operandi seems to be to, you know, hit the ball long and forward as soon as you get it, which doesn't seem to be suiting him at the moment. But you know, again, it's early days for him. But you know, it is spectacularly frustrating because when you see. I mean, it's good for the football in general that there's at least two lower teams in the first division that are in the quarterfinals. But you know, again, it's a huge opportunity missed because I mean, again, the way teams like Bray get to the semi-finals or even the final is by getting a few lucky draws and getting a few draws against, you know, mid to lower. Teams in the first division. You know, you saw Wexford last season who got to the semi-final without playing a single professional or a semi-professional team.
Yeah, and so to be fair to Wexford, like Wexford were excellent against Drogheda. Like they were really, really good. And that bit of kind of a first division underdog coming in is good. Like you don't want all of the top teams just dominating and we year in, year out. And the thing this year with fourth place being so like completely, not guaranteed at all to get you Europe, the cup is massive because like the league apart from Shamrock Rovers winning it, it's so hard to call that there's massive motivation for everyone to win the cup.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now again, I would genuinely be fearful if Kerry were to be drawn against the likes of Shamrock Rovers, but you know, yeah. you'd like to see them have an away day up in Tala. I think I remember a few years ago. I think it was during COVID, so not people haven't committed it to memory. But was it Dundalk who beat Athlone 11-0 in the final?
They beat them 73-0. Yeah.
Yeah. No. So I mean, you'd hope that the draws would play out so that genuine underdogs get a chance to at least get to the semi-final, and you don't see cricket scores. Which, you know, and again, even though. Obviously, I'm really disappointed how we played tonight. I'm happy that both Harps and Kerry, at the very least, are in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, no, it's great to see first division sides holding their own against, and we'll see how the draw kind of pans out. You never know. But thanks, Siegel, for jumping on.
Yeah, no problem, lads.
Johnny,
that's
can
the
I
other
ask?
Thing of, sorry, Cam. That's go the ahead. Other thing. Sligo Rovers, like Galway United, have had two piss easy games to get to the last days. Like Sligo Rovers had Dundalk, who would have massively put their eggs in the basket of winning that away, and Bowes away to get here. Like, so they absolutely, if a team does deserve a good run in the cup this year, or even to win it, it's Sligo Rovers. And I do love how they're like, they're just constantly under John Russell, always underestimated, hardly ever go off favourites in a match with the bookmakers. And again tonight, they've earned it. They've earned their right. They deserve a good draw now.
Absolutely. I'm seeing plenty of jokes online, by the way, of Bowes wearing that Oasis kit for the final time this year, if it is a cup jersey. So there you go, fitting end to it all. We'll try and see if we can get Gavin Smith back up on the line here, and see if the connection is a bit better this time, hopefully. And no, it didn't work this time. Let's see. Gavin, can you hear us there? Yay, we can hear you loud and clear now, buddy. How are you?
Absolutely sick and angry.
You were giving out about Damien McGrath. The floor is yours.
That performance for Bowes was not good enough. We, the passion was just too slow, and sideways or backways, and we never, ever tossed Sligo Rovers, and our Sligo Rovers were the Bohunko team, and I'm not a big fan of John Russell, but he got a spot on tonight with team selection. But Anu Wenner's got it completely wrong tonight.
It's strange, Gavin, that you know, they went to Talca, got two goals, could have gotten more, but the last two home games against teams that obviously they would have been massively favourites to beat, Drogheda and Sligo, they couldn't score.
Exactly, to be honest, no, I'm not a massive fan of Sligo. They were the better team tonight. As for the penalty, I don't know what Rooney was trying to do with his penalty.
So, for those who might have missed it, Gavin, what did he do?
Well, basically, he hit it with no power, and Sanson just saved it comfortably.
Yeah, that's no good.
No, I mean, I was suspecting, like, I don't know why he didn't play Casper or Adam McDonald tonight for. That was a big mistake on Reiner's part.
Yeah.
Because you played at the Christmas and we both couldn't score.
Johnny, there's a... Suddenly... Like, I know a lot of people have been talking about who's going to make Europe, which is a very pressing conversation right now. And everyone had Bowes in their kind of, yeah, they're probably safe and making it. That's two pretty disappointing results over the last week. Now, I know one of them's in the cup, but like, it's probably the worst time in the season to have a wobble.
Yeah, like I wouldn't necessarily say they're wobbling. Like, I thought against Drogheda, I mean, it's so frustrating playing against a team like that who are like killing time throughout. Really, really hard to play against. They do it week in, week out. And Bowes, I mean, you know, Ross Tierney has a great chance. The first half could have been different. They also drew against Shells, obviously could have won that game. So I'm not necessarily sure it's a wobble, but you're right, Cam. Like, the Bowes emphasis now is after they did have such a poor start to the season. Like, you see with Europe, the riches there and the ultimately what it means to the fans, like, if you can get there, like, the Bowes' eggs are absolutely in the basket now. They have to finish in the top three or get Europe, otherwise it will be a disappointing season, and that's the cold reality of it, regardless of what. There have been so many positives. I really like this Bowes team. I like the way they play. They're still a bit vulnerable against teams that maybe park the bus, but I doubt Sligo did that tonight. Now Bowes, just, they do really absolutely need to battle for Europe, but Pats are on the up. Drogheda aren't going anywhere at the moment, and you'd imagine Derry should be there about, so it's no guarantee whatsoever.
Yeah.
And the only boy is we have to play Sligo in 2 weeks' time in the soul grind, so that's not going to be easy. Because if Sligo Rovers still up, John Russell has to get manager of the year. What he's doing with Sligo is just unbelievable. Every season, everybody was a Sligo Rovers but John Wasser proves people won't.
There you go. Gavin, thank you so much for jumping on.
Thank you.
I can't think of a better way to have teed up James Lawler-Kerr from Gavin there. Good evening, James. How are you?
What is the story, lads?
You sound particularly happy.
just a bit. What a win. What a team. What a club. You're going, 500 fans going back up the M4 and delighted. Like, it was just from start to finish. Like, if you're a neutral watching that game, what a first half it was as well. What a second half it was. Like, it was end to end. It was chance after chance for both teams. Elding goes and does what Elding does and scores again. And Sargent saves a penalty, which, to be fair, I thought was a penalty. But again, what a save to, you know, keep us in the game, really. And we hold out and we're in the next round of the cup.
The thing, as well as that, James, like, the thing with Sligo Rovers, you look at Derry City's accounts that came out the other week where the chairman's putting in like 2.3 million a year, like, for Sligo Rovers to be competing with that and playing a really, really nice brand of football, even when, you know, they were giving away bad goals early in the season. Like, you must be, it means more when it's a proper, like, you know, there isn't a sugar daddy there and you're totally punching above your weight in terms of where you could be.
Well, you look at during the week there was 14 volunteers of the club out in Manor Hamilton selling the annual draw tickets. A post just went up there that, as well as tonight, they've just surpassed €93,000 in annual draw sales as of tonight. Like, there isn't many other clubs that are able to do that. And you're right, it's because, you know, nearly everybody that goes are members. It just makes stuff like that bit sweeter, you know. Like, look at Bowes, fair enough, fan owned, if you want to call them fan owned. They made €2 million last year on their shirt sales, and that was before they've done the Oasis gig, which is now through the roof. You've got people that are out working and giving up their time night and day to support the club, and more importantly, support John Russell. Because there was a time in the season where there was people calling for his head, and, you know, and the signings that he's made have been nothing short of excellent. Like, they've just gone straight into the team. Ryan O'Kane, Jackie Harkin, Seb Quirk tonight. They've been unreal, every one of them. And they've grafted out the result. And it actually brought me back to when we won 2-0 in Dalymount last year, when we were down to 10 men and Chapman scored with nobody in the goals there in the last minute. You're kind of like, that deep, they're the times that you want with the club. Hopefully now, you know, we've had the graft for the cup draws, and we've beat Dundalk away, we've beat Bowes away. You know, fair enough, I wouldn't mind getting a plane down to Kerry. I think I'd drive to Dublin to get the plane to Kerry if we got them in the cup in the next round. But it just makes tonight that bit more sweeter of the weekend and everything and the good weather and all that crack, the fact that we've gone and grafted a 1-0 win like that.
What did you make of Edwin Agbaje? I know he's joined today, it was revealed, and it was subject to international clearance whether he'd be available. But he came on early in the second half. What did you make of him?
Yeah, I don't think you could judge him straight away, to be honest with you. He's been in training with the lads over the last few weeks. So he knows a few of them. He looks all right. I wouldn't want to say he's God's gift or he's absolutely muckrat like that, because you want to give him a bit of time to, you know, settle in with Rovers. It's the same with a few of the lads who, you know, jump in the start. Like, I thought Jackie Harkin tonight was one of the best players on the pitch. He was running the socks off himself for 90 minutes. Same with Ryan O'Kane until he came off, you know. Then Dara Patton comes on and just gets the legs running, and, you know, but for me it was Jackie Harkin tonight. Now, he was quality everywhere on the pitch. But look, at give the guy a few weeks. Hopefully he can settle in, because to be fair to Bowes, they had Connor Parsons on that left-hand side and Connor Reynolds, and they were giving him a good, as good as Connor Reynolds is, he was giving Connor Parsons a quality player. They were giving him a run for his money, but to be fair, Bowes just couldn't really break us down tonight. To be fair, Douglas James Taylor is a class outfit as well. Like, everything was just sticking to him tonight. And but look, a win's a win. You move on. And considering the, if you want to say, shite we've had over the last 2 weeks with the red cards, you know, you've got Sargent's overturned. You've got Patrick McLean's card, and the statement was out at midday the next day, like, about that they had overturned the red card. And you know, I think that was the most comments an FAI Twitter post had in a long time about that red card. You know, we deserved a bit of luck. Do I think we needed it? Nah, probably not. I think we would have beaten Bowes anyways. But again, as I think Johnny said earlier, you know, we were the bookies underdogs. We were on this morning at 8-1 to win the game, and we've gone and won it. And a few happy punters as well. But like, that's what the cup's all about. Like, you know.
Yeah, not a bad day's work, James. Best of luck now. Safe trip back up to the Sligo tonight, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Cheers, lads. Good luck.
It feels like tennis, this, because we're going from Sligo to Bowes to Sligo to Bowes. Anthony Kiernan is ready to go. How are you?
Hey, you lads. How's it going?
Not too bad. Not too bad. We're good. Feel probably not the same where you're coming from tonight.
No, I'm actually still sitting on Daly Mount here, but no, I'd like to echo the sentiments of James there. He was spot on. Like, Sligo to a man were brilliant tonight. Absolutely brilliant. A lot of stuff that is going against them the last few weeks, and even the penalty tonight, I was right in front of it, literally standing in front of it. Never a penalty, not in a million years. And I don't really have a huge criticism of Bowes either, other than they didn't get the ball forward quickly enough and ring fence it enough. It was all trying to play through the lines when Sligo were sitting deep. But they're a different entity to the Galways and the Drogheda's and the Shelburne's of last year. They're not sitting in, they're not defending deep. They're a credit to the fucking league, to be honest with you, lads. I think that was one of the better games of football I've watched in Daly Mount this year, based on the fact that I know they dropped off a little bit, that's natural enough, but even every area of the pitch, they won the battles. They won the fullback battles, they won aerial duels when the ball went into the box, they were able to turn attack into defence really quickly. And the keeper, when Bowes did break the lines, they were the keeper was top notch, and in fairness, that's kind of been the same thing that's happened this year against them, and we were just a little bit unlucky. Like,
yeah,
I missed the start of the show, lad. So is that kind of what so I'm coming in blind here a little bit, is that kind of what the sentiment is, Cameron?
Yeah, very much so. Like, I was kind of watching along with this game tonight, and it was a really, really entertaining game. And I think, like, it's fair to say, Shane, that the last couple of weeks we've seen that return to a sort of swashbuckling style from Sligo Rovers that we've come to know and really love from a John Russell side. Like, I watched that game against Shelburne 2 weeks ago, and I know, like, the red card comes very late in the game, so for Sam Sargent, so it didn't really have a massive effect on it. Sligo were just way off it that night. Shelburne had them whenever they wanted them. It didn't feel like a particularly cohesive performance, or there was much intent from them. Having them back at their firing best is good for the league and really good for them. Shane. I think Shane has dropped off there, so we might try and get him on.
Cameron, I can jump in on that. So I watched the Shelburne game, and I think the biggest criticism I have of Sligo this year is they find it hard to peak two or three games in a row. So they get to where they need to be, and then there's a huge drop off the following week. And I think that was a catechism of what happened against Shells. They had a huge performance. Two or three huge performances, in a couple of weeks in a row. And against Shells just were at the point in time where they were turning the screw a little bit. They were at their open. It's the same as the Bows and Shells game last week. Shells were obviously at the level that they were for Europe, and that's the training levels, and they've kind of, to paraphrase Ronan O'Gara, they kind of, I can't think of the word now in my head, but they've kind of gotten to where they needed to be.
They've pushed on a little bit to another level.
Periodization, that's the word I'm looking for. So, and that's down to Damien Duff as well, because they didn't hit the ground running. And Pats are the same. They didn't hit the ground running. And maybe everything was geared towards Europe with Pats and Shells this year. And it does show, like, Shells were a different entity the last two or three weeks whenever they're playing. And they've added depth and quality. And I think that's just what happened to Sligo at that particular night down in the showgrounds. They just got done by the levels that Shells had. And I think there was always going to be a backlash. I think Vinny was saying during the week in the pod that he worried for Pats last week against Sligo. So I knew tonight coming here, if Bows aren't at their ultimate best, playing at 120% and firing all cylinders, Sligo will turn us over here. And that bore through. Like, they actually had three really good chances in the first half that they probably could have been a goal or two up. I have no complaints as a Bows fan. Alan Rounds will tell you that he wants to keep playing the same way, and that's brilliant. And you don't deviate from the plan, but in my eyes, and I just had to be chatting to Ross Haney's father, in my eyes, sometimes you need to just get the ball forward quickly and early and ring fence and pick up on the second balls instead of playing around the back forward.
What is the perspective from a Bows side about being out of the cup at this stage? Is there a little bit of, gosh, we could have maybe taken that and it would have been great to get a run there? Or is it that now that you're in the mix for those European places in the league, having the singular focus mightn't be a bad thing?
And that's my own personal opinion, what you just said, Cameron. But absolutely not. I had two arguments with Bows fans tonight over clapping the Sligo players off the pitch. So that's in reality, if you're looking at it, we haven't won a trophy in a long time, and a home game against a team that's in the bottom half should be a penalty kick, really. And I get that, and that's frustration. But I've said it over the couple of weeks, if we take an 18-month project, it might not be the end of the world if we still qualify for Europe.
Yeah, I think that wouldn't be an unpopular view among the Bows faithful, to be honest. But we'll keep an eye on it. Anthony, thanks so much. Enjoy the revelry that's going on behind you there, and we'll talk to you again next week.
The finest, lads. Thanks very much. Appreciate you having me on.
Not at all. Okay, we have some Cork City fans. They've stopped from their celebrations after the recent upting in form. Cian is standing by. Good evening, Cian. Welcome to LOI Late Night.
Hey, how's things?
Good. Probably very good from your perspective. Suddenly, yeah, it's all coming up for Cork City.
Yeah, at the moment, we look well the last three games. We look very well tonight. We something we haven't seen in a long time. We just look very well. Kind of our shape was perfect every time. You could just see them all moving together. I think there was a bit of talk when Rory Feely came in around the league that he was a poor signing. By God, how wrong was that? He's been fantastic since he came in. Young Freddie Anderson next to him is learning off him, and the two of them are just brilliant together. The young lad there, Matt Murray, started tonight for City, 17 years of age. I'm not sure if he got man in the match, but I presume he did. He was sensational.
What's the mood? But were you at the game?
I was at the game, yeah.
What's the mood been like in Turner's Cross over the last couple of weeks? Has there been a market sort of optimism kind of spike given where you've come from over maybe the last few months?
I don't know, because I think where they are now, they needed to be there 6 weeks ago. That's probably the problem. With regards to the league, if we can get a nice cup run, don't know if we could get to a cup final. If we could get a nice draw in the cup, you could never know, you could be in a cup final. Anything could happen in a cup final. But for the league, I think we just, it's a bit too little too late. I think we need to be like this 6 weeks ago.
What was the crowd like tonight, actually?
It was actually a small crowd. I didn't hear the attendance, but if I was to guess, I'd have said about 1,800. But I will say it's probably even before Kamara's goal or before the first goal, it's probably the best atmosphere I've seen in Turner's Cross all year, which is a funny one because there was a lot less people out there.
Yeah, 2,112 is what they're reporting as the official attendance.
Was that the official? Yeah, if I was to guess, it's about 18. So yeah, not too far off.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, there wouldn't say a protest, but in the middle of the game, there was the banner went up. Fans, not customers. And there was kind of a bit of chanting. The normal 25 euros are having a laugh because people had presumed the price would come down for the cup because. I think the owner had said originally that season ticket holders would be looked after. They'd never pay €25, but they were asked to pay €25 tonight.
Yeah. And take, for example, Keane, if he hadn't found a winner in this game, finished 1-1, like was obviously the result is very heartening, but it was the performance. Were ye the better side? Was the performance?
Oh, yeah, by fair. Well, I think Waterford could have caught us a few times on the break. No, Freddie Emerson cleared the ball off the line. Waterford had their chances. They could have beat us. But performance, we were the better team. Said, you know, you're gonna give up them chances when you're chasing the winner. I think in extra time, they probably would have had us because we probably don't have the numbers on the bench. But that would have been more the kind of squad depth than performance. It's the best I've seen us perform in a long time. Like last, I nearly fell asleep watching us last week. I was actually doing a bit of work around the house to keep myself awake.
Yeah, I don't think you were alone in that, Keane.
No, it was
a tough weekend.
This was the complete opposite. It was a pure cup game. It was end to end.
Yeah, I was looking at the bench there, as you say. Look, they made that announcement during the week. I don't know what. How was that greeted down there? The announcement of the young players getting the first team contracts, was that trying to insert a good news story into a fairly bad season overall? But I did see to be one of them in particular that I'd have a bit of an eye on, young Lee. I see he was on the bench for you there tonight.
Oh, Brody Lee, he'd have to get a couple of minutes the last couple of weeks. I don't think he got any tonight, but he got a few the last couple of weeks. All right.
Yeah, no, he's a lively young lad. What's going on with Benny Kudo? He was one of the ones that caught my eye earlier in the season.
He got that injury up in Sligo, and I just think he's on the bench to kind of make up the numbers, really, at the moment. He was warming up to the shed and stuff. But I don't think he's going to play for another couple of weeks. Yeah, to be honest, Maguire doesn't look fit either. He hasn't looked fit since the game down in Waterford when he got injured.
Okay. And I'm delighted to hear the feedback on Rory Feely. He's another one, Johnny, one of the long list of ones who got away when I was at Galway United. I would have tried to sign Rory when I was at Galway. He is a very, very good player. So I was going to say young player. He's not that young anymore, in fairness. And he must have gone into his latter 20s by now. It's a good. He was still a young fellow when I tried to sign him. That's a while ago. But no, look, very, very solid player. I thought he would be a good signing for you, to be honest, considering the issues and problems that were kind of well stated that you were having across the back line. So I'm delighted to hear that he's done well. Speaking of your back line, is Charlie Lyon still suspended, or is he just kind of ostracised at the moment, or what way is he, do you know?
I think he's on the way back from injury, but I can't see him going into that back line because you have Kelleher, you have, like, Feely's not been moved from there. I'd be surprised if Feely's with us next year. I presume he has some relegation clause or something. I'd be shocked if we have him next year. And at the moment, I wouldn't move out, even though I was pretty critical of Freddie Anderson early in the year when he was next to Charlie, but next to Feely, he just looks a different player. He just has that experience next to him now, and, you know, he's just talking him through.
And Keane, the one final one maybe that surprised me a little bit as well was I kind of assumed when David Odomosu was signed that I would have thought he had been signed to be first choice, but that's not how it's played out.
No, he picked up an injury as well, but I can't see Conor Brand moving out of there either because he's been really, really good the last few weeks. He's actually, I was saying tonight, he reminds me of Mark McDulty in a way. He can't kick a ball for his life, but he's a good shot stopper. He's a good keeper.
His current goalkeeping goal, yeah, you reckon, is
not a lot. Season, so. Yeah, but we'd have no back and goal in a heartbeat.
is it possible for you to get out of where you're at?
I don't know. We need some very big results, and we need them very quickly. I think we've Waterford here to come home. We Sligo away. but then you're still depending on them not winning their games. Like that game we threw away against Sligo, had we won, like, I know ifs and buts, we'd be 2 points behind them.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a game, but there's plenty, you can look up plenty together. That was up the paths, threw again a game last minute, last 3-2. Threw out a Sligo game, on air 3-2. If we can get a couple of wins together, but I said you're still depending on Sligo to just, and I can't see Sligo finishing bottom. Sligo look well organised.
Sligo are.
I don't think Waterford are very lucky that they probably had a better start to the season, because we played them a few times and I know they beat us well down there a couple of weeks ago. They're not great shakes at all. They're probably very lucky that we're very poor. The Sligo started very poor.
Yeah, I don't see Sligo. Like, I think Cork City need a kind of a Galway United or Waterford utter collapse to have any sort of...
Yeah, we need a miracle.
Yeah, well, listen, we'll light a candle for you, Keane. Best of luck.
We'll win the Cup. We'll win to Europe in the first division. It'll be fine.
That'll be brilliant. It's giving Wigan 2013. Good stuff.
Cheers, lads.
Best of luck, man. All right, it's time to hear from Shane Kennedy this evening, hopefully to maybe round things off for us tonight. Good evening, Shane. How are you? Are you a Sam Fender fan?
Oh, no, I was just reading about that, actually. Yeah, it's on in Belfast, some field or something, is it? And
yes.
It's different, depends on what article you read. The first I've heard of it, it might get switched. Others say it'll play the same, but I mean, it won't really make much of an impact. I don't think Linfield have that many fans anyway, so...
get your retaliation in early, Shane.
It's all a bit of fun, isn't it?
I know.
I don't know if any of you seen that penal, but I actually didn't think it was a penal for Bowes either. But it's funny because Paddy McLean points that he got the ball and he got nowhere near the ball. It was more of a dive, but like, I just thought it was hilarious that he told the referee he got the ball when clearly he got none of it. It was more, if it wasn't a penalty, it was for the dive rather than him getting the ball. But if you see it back, it was actually quite fun. Some draw. I told you last week, Tony Fruitlads was, I don't know if anyone's watched the game. They just...
Yeah, I was at it. It was, the quality of them first two strikes.
That fella was... Like, you hear, listen to the Bowes fans clap the Sligo lads off. They were good tonight as well. But that Fruit fella is one of the best footballers, I think, I've seen since Wes Houlihan. Probably, like, he was unplayable, unbelievable, and you just take your hat off to him and you drop deep by the try and stop him, and your man puts one in top corner. At least you weren't giving away goals like we did all season, I suppose.
Isn't it mad, Shane, that it's now like, I was thinking of this today, it's kind of like, so that's your idea, another game against Linfield. Like, it's just mad that it's all come back to this, where it started against like a team really that Shell should be beating to get into the Conference League.
Yeah, they are a different side. I watched them obviously a lot. I watched a bit of Europe, and your man offered up front to come back from St. Mirren, he'll be decent. And I think I've said it before, Tolke, you're never going to switch it for the sake of a football reason, but Tolke doesn't really suit us when we have the ball against a parked bus. And then obviously the quality of player that Carabeg and Rieke had, like, they have the ability to play in tight areas, and the closer the goal, where they only said to someone, that goal, the first goal, Fruit's goal, probably doesn't happen in Tally because the three players aren't that close together. But it's just the way Tally is, and those players took advantage of the tighter pitch because they can, they're good enough. Like, where, no offense to Shells, we probably don't have that level of player, obviously, but Linfield will be a different game, I think. We've come on a bit, they've probably come on a bit, and yeah, it'll be tight though, but I think it's the way the Champions path goes though. Drita are playing the same team from Luxembourg, I think, again. So it's going to happen more frequently. It's not some random thing. The goal, you know, we watched the Bowes game last week, that was also in this week. Lewis Temple's goal, God love him, he recovered very well, but that was one of the worst goals I think I've ever seen.
It was, yeah. Would you lay the blame solely at his feet, or would you hedge on even towards his keeper for his positioning as well?
No. I first would lay the blame on Ledwidge for his pass, because the goal was in the middle of the keeper and Temple. The keeper shows to Ledwidge, like, he's right-footed, so he wants to come across to get the ball on his right foot. So he has to show for it. Where Camo should probably go straight back to him and not go to Temple. But then Temple has to look, and I think Temple probably wants to give it to his right foot, but he has to look at him.
But he's so bad at his left foot. It was such an exaggerated position he adopted.
But if he stays in the middle of his goal, the pass is much harder to his right foot. Like, but yeah, he's obviously terrible on his left foot. That he has to show for it though. But no, I think Ledwidge can take some 5% maybe. But yeah, I thought we'd done well against Bowes though from a league point. Like, we grew into the game, and I think that would be. I think there's massive pressure on Bowes now, because that was quite a disappointing performance for them, considering it was against our second team. And I don't mean that in an insult, but that's the way it was. And they kind of faded, and it seems like Sligo in the last 15 minutes, once you stop Dawson Avoy, you kind of stop Bowes. Like, and we just tweaked it again in the second half against Bowes, and we just stopped Avoy playing, and we were dominated in the second half. And I heard Johnny say earlier on, now they got two goals against Shells. They got two gifts, and the second one was more of a cross shot, like, kind of thing, but they got a gift in the first goal. And I thought Bowes were very poor. And then Taylor, like I mentioned him last week, he has that chance at the end of the match. I think a top quality striker does better than that, in my opinion. And tonight he was very poor again. He nearly, I think I heard Stephen Doyle say he was going to kill him Bowes a little bit compared to what Clark was doing. But I thought we are really good. Like, and it shows that, like, in training and whatever, like, that we're listening to what's being said or whatever, because the team, Ellis Chapman came in and played in the field, and it was just effortless for him. We thought he was really good. He hasn't played there.
Yeah. No, I do. Look, I do think it will be a more difficult challenge for you second time round. Obviously, Linfield will have more yards in the leg and be far more of a kind of match tempo fit than when you got them the last time around. I also think it is, from a managerial perspective, there's nothing worse than having to play a team again that you've already beaten, to be honest with you, because the opportunity for them to learn is probably greater than the opportunity for you to learn. It's kind of always harder to learn from a game you're after winning. So I think there's, you know, I do think it'll be more difficult challenge than first time around. But at the same time, I would still expect you to be able to find a way to get through. Like, again, you know, so no insult to Shieldsy and Co, but Linfield aren't going to have a fluke. Like, do you know what I mean? What you come up against, we had a chain with Dundalk when we were in the Europa League. We came up against Rapid Vienna, and they had the young Austrian fella UC Demir, who went on to sign for Barca. Like, sometimes you just there's just nothing you can do. You come up against a talent that's just so far ahead of everything else that's on the field. You set up as an individual to defend against it. You set up as a team to defend against it. And it's just a level or two ahead of what anybody else on the field has experienced. So there's not a thing in the fucking world you can do. And that's kind of how it looked with your man, Frook. It reminded me of that UC Demir. Linfield aren't going to have that. And for all I expect them to improve and pose an even stiffer test, you have to be confident that you can still come through with
it. Yeah, I think I'd be a big boxing fan. And part of me does think, like, the better quality boxer would always win the rematch quite more comfortably, because he's got 12 rounds or whatever. Like, and part of me does think like that. So yeah, I'd be more confident, but obviously the stakes are much higher. So, but yeah, what I think it would benefit us to have already played them more so than them. I mean, if they came at us a bit more and told you, you'd be thinking we could take advantage. But yeah, I think McLean, I think they dropped Mulgrew last night. I think his serious legs are gone. I think Tom McLean fella played for them, and then Shieldsy played. So they tore it out against the Faroes. They got really tired in the last 20 minutes. Like, I was a bit shocked at how much they dropped off. And I think the keeper kept them in it, which is quite surprising. Yeah. But the Faroes, I was trying to win. Like, they were terrible.
What are you expecting, Shane, of the cup game? Like, it's such a weird time now, in the sense of how big this game is against Linfield, like, and coming off, like, it was a very, very tough game the other night, like, and now they have this game against Pats in the Cup, which are kind of like, how are they going to shuffle it?
Well, I think we'll do the same thing. I think we won't play our injury-prone players, or, like, Paddy Barrett won't. There's no way he'll play, not a chance. People that are just injury-prone, I think it's defenders that had a tough task. I think Cameron Ledger is only young for age 23, looks fiddle. Meepo will probably play again. John Martin's in and out of injury. So players that just get injured probably won't play. Then you've got, it'd be the similar thing to Bowes, I'd say. Well, look, it's a squad game, and we don't have a squad too far off Shamrock Rovers at this stage, like, in my opinion. Our squad's unbelievable. So we'll bring the lads in. I suppose Tariq Wilson being out injured is a bit of a kick because you've the same left back to play. But it'd be nice to see Conor Cairns if he was on the bench. I think he's a lot better with his feet than Spiel. But yeah, no, I know Pats didn't play their players last night, but they had to travel, so they'll be tired.
What's the latest on Conor Cairns?
I'm not sure. I think I heard he was out warm doing a run the other day. So as in before the match on Wednesday or Tuesday, whenever that was. But I think hopefully he's not too far away. So even if he was on the bench, but then I don't know if you'd put him on the bench because then they feel now he's fit. So I'm not sure, but it's good to see actually the Rovers game called off. I don't know what you think of that, lads, but I think it's good.
Ah, yeah, no, it makes complete sense. I think it was a no-brainer when you have both clubs. Normally you have one club maybe objecting to it. When you had both clubs pulling in the same direction, it just became a no-brainer, you know.
Yeah, that's what. And then there was something else I think I was going to say. So I can't remember. I'm doing your man and Anthony and now it's Ronan O'Gara thing.
Yeah. Ouch.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Look, I'll get that in instead of the Oasis punch.
Yeah, I've had enough of those.
The cup draw is wide open, and if we beat Pats, you'd be looking. It's weird because I kind of want the Bulls to win, but it's kind of not as too deflated now that they did. It was like just because you don't know what's going to happen with the top three. But yeah, and I'll look forward to next Thursday. I won't actually make Pats game. All these tournaments, you know, was playing, so it'll be one of these that we ringing in now from the phone on the car or something, not being there.
Well, we look forward to it, Shane. Thanks a million for jumping on.
Cheers, lads. Thanks.
I think that'll about do it for tonight's episode. Thank you very much, Shane Keegan. You put out the fire. You put out all the fires on tonight's show.
Apologies for going missing. Yeah, I'm partially deaf after running around the house. Well, as usual, I think there's like one alarm triggers all the rest. I think that's how it works. And I think we have 8 alarms and... we very nearly reached number 8. We got to number 7, which turned out to be the key one, Cameron. So, like I say, partially deaf. So, apologies for disappearing on you for a while there.
I thought it was reminiscent of that Bulls fan who, remember, they'd won and his apartment had gone on fire in Hamburg or something.
Yeah, that's right. Probably.
Johnny Ward, thank you very much for jumping on.
Night, lads.
Good evening. Let's go through what else to expect. So, as I said at the top, it's the big one tomorrow night, a repeat of tomorrow's final or last year's final tomorrow in the Men's FAI Cup when Derry City host Drogheda United for an 8 o'clock kickoff at the Brandywell. You've 3 more quarterfinals tomorrow in the Women's FAI Cup, so new champions this year because, as we said before, Shamrock Rovers knocking shells out tonight. DLR Waves take on Treaty United at 3. You've Piemont against Athlone at 5. And then at 6 o'clock, non-league Newbridge Town up against Bohemians. So lots to look forward to in that one. And then the Men's FAI Cup on Sunday, St. Patrick's Athletic against Shelburne, the big one there. So lots to look forward to. We will hopefully have plenty of talking points. A quieter week, more European action, and a lot more to discuss besides. We'll let you get on with your weekend, folks. Thanks so much for jumping on tonight. And we will talk to you again next Friday night. Take care.
LOI Late Night on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol-free.
Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie.